I just want to encourage everyone with this brief praise report. It's go time, church. It's go time. I had a family member on my heart, and actually there were several people that I didn't reach out to over the Christmas holidays, but I had written some names on a piece of paper, and I was determined to eventually catch up with this one. And she had gotten a really negative report. I won't say what it is because that's not the point. The point is, it's go time, church. I reached out to her in the way that I could, which was a phone, because she's a long way away from where I am here in Austin, Texas. And I started the conversation. I didn't know what I was going to say when we started, but the conversation went something like this. I told her who it was. She was like, who? She's older than, much older than I am. Well, maybe 15 years older than I am. And who? And when she heard that it was me, she said, hey, girl, how you doing? Did you hear about? And I knew she was about to go into the report and all the things that were going on in her physical body. And I said, before you tell me that, I want to hear about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And she started testifying. Now, let me share. I didn't know what this family member believed about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I didn't know. I knew that their mother had been Catholic. I knew that the grandmother had been Baptist. So I had no clue what this family member believed. But I just said it, and she began to exalt and praise God. Now, she was at home tethered to some stuff. I'm just going to leave it at that. You understand what I'm saying. Tethered to some stuff. And I said, after she finished sharing, I said, do you mind if I just pray for you before we do anything else? She said, yeah, girl. And I just began to speak the word of God. The word of God says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. God will put in your mouth a word to speak to someone, to encourage them, to bring life. Brother Damon said, what were you supposed to speak about that lying virus? Speak life, right? So I just began to speak the word of God and speak life to her. And she said, girl, I'm about to come up out of this bathrobe. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. The whole conversation was that. That was the conversation. There was nothing else to tell. And this is what she said by the time we finished. And I promise you, I did not encourage her to say anything of the kind, but this is what she said. She said, if you hear that I am brain dead, don't you believe it. If you hear that I got 24 hours to live, don't you believe it. It's not true. I am fighting. I am living. I was like, this is a woman, to my knowledge, I don't know that she goes to church. Do you hear what I'm saying? The word of God came rising up on the inside. In the middle of all of this, I thought, Lord, I don't even know if she's born again. Let me work that in too. Well, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, he will quicken your mortal body. You believe in Jesus, don't you? God raised him from the dead, didn't he? I'm hollering just on the phone, just like I am. And she was like, yeah, I believe. The spirit of God's in me too. Yeah, I believe. I was like, well, that takes care of salvation. Let's keep going. My point is, it's go time, church. It's go time. You don't have to physically get up and go out into the street. If you can, fine, go. If you can't, pick up your phone, pick up your device, pick up something and reach out to somebody. Pick up a pen, pick up a piece of paper and encourage the people. People are hurting and you have the answer.
Yes. Yes. And speaking of the answer, so I've been talking to a lady who, you know, as far as her real estate situation, because I do some real estate stuff. It's an older lady, and she's been mourning the death of her husband. You know, it happened almost 2 years ago. This lady happens to be Jehovah Witness. At least she talks a whole lot about Jehovah Witness. But I was just like, you know, I was like, Lord, I'm just going to pray for her. So I just prayed for her that God would turn her mourning into dancing, her sorrow into joy. I spoke the word over her hands, you know, as far as some arthritis stuff. I was like, Lord, and I know God put it on my heart. I was like, I'm not even dealing with Jehovah Witness stuff and saying, oh, you know, you this, you know, Jehovah Witness this, and, you know, Christianity. I didn't even deal with that stuff. I just spoke the word. That's it. I just spoke the word. I just prayed the word, and that was it. And so she's like, oh, thank you. So anyway, praise God.
So back in the summer at Camp OB3, that's when I really started to begin to hear God and Him talking to me and really learning how to listen. And lately, my friends have been like emailing me and like texting me, "Hey, can you pray for da 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 da?" And it's just been really exciting for me because I've been asking God, like, "Will you use me?" And very recently, my friend, one of her friends, is having had like the worst report ever. And my friend, she was just like starting to doubt and like not having the faith. And I was able to kind of, you know, help her and teach her and explain to her how good God is and how He keeps His promises. And she's been able to be believing for healing in her friend.
Amen. Y'all can sit down if you'd like. I'll let you. Brother Ryan didn't say you could, but I'll let you. I want to say something. God never fails. Yep. And since Jim passed away, I will admit there's been times it's like, God, how am I going to handle all this? How am I going to handle, especially the finances? Because our salary was cut in half. And Sunday, somebody came up to me and gave me an envelope. And in that envelope were two gift cards for $40 each to restaurants and $140, no, anyway, more, some cash. And it so shocked me, because I've learned you cannot outgive God. I tithe. There's times that, you know, the devil might say, "Well, you can't afford to tithe." You can't afford not to. I'm telling you now. I learned a long time ago that if I want to sell something, whether it be a car or whatever it might be, I give an offering. I plant a seed for that thing to sell. And I've also learned to give an offering of thanksgiving, because God never, ever, ever fails. Pastor said it so many times. Pastor Jim said it so many times. You can't outgive God, and that's the truth. Because God told me, even a couple of years before Jim passed away, He said, "I'll always take care of you." And so every time bad thoughts or try to come to my mind, it's like, no, God, He promised it in His word, but He also said it to me personally. So if you're having issues with finances, I encourage you to give. I don't just give money. I buy gifts for people all the time. I love it. They love it. And you know what? It hasn't done anything bad to me to do that. So I just encourage you to be a giver. Be a giver. You know, not just in your monies, but in your, you know, sometimes I just tell people, I appreciate. I told Brother, what's his name? Robert back there. Thank you for being so faithful to the house of the Lord for so many, 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 many years. Sometimes we just need to encourage people, right? In our giving of words, in our giving, like whoever said it, about just encouraging people with words. But don't forget to give to God first. And then as He encourages you to bless others, do that. Steve didn't tell me to get up here and tell this story. I just, he has no, unless he read it on Facebook, he has no clue. But I just want to say thank you, God, for always taking care of me. Whether it's big, whether it's small, He always takes care of me, and He'll take care of you too.
Amen. Good evening, family. Just quickly, last week, our refrigerator went out. And of course, everything started melting, ice cream, things started defrosting in the freezer. And we're like, oh my God, rushing to get every ice chest that we could and, you know, pack it up with ice and all that. It was, I think it was Friday or Saturday, it was the weekend. Anyway, we have home warranty insurance for our appliances. But guess what? That particular part that went out was not covered. You know, there's always something like that every time that we make a claim, and it's like, well, why are we paying, you know, this monthly anyway? So we stood on the word, Robert and I. Robert said, God has a new refrigerator for us. And I said, yes, he does, and we're going to stand on that word. So I think it was on Monday, I guess it was Monday. So we went shopping, and we found a really nice refrigerator, more than I was looking at buying, but God provided, and we took.
Amen. Praise God. Brother Damon.
I'll brag for a second, if I may. So I have, and I've told you all this, someone in the church blessed me with a Bluetooth speaker that's, the thing is incredibly loud. It's like, literally, they put one on one side of a football field, and you go to the other side, and you can, it's like you're still listening to it right there. So someone sold into me, and I got a sister to go with him. So, and the beautiful thing, no wires. No, like, completely wireless. So that's, if anyone knows, when you're setting up, wires are a complicated mess sometimes. So not have to deal with that reduces on setup time, tear down time. So praise God. So I'm bragging on God for that. Amen. Just a reminder, Brother Rob, Friday, 6:15, has his Zoom for the men, the communion, and then Saturday evening prayer at 7 o'clock. I'd like to remind everyone that the very first Saturday of the month of February, we'll be doing more filming for KLTTC. So definitely, if God's put it on your heart to be a blessing in that area, sowing and serving, talk to Sister Jerry and talk to everyone else, however you can be a blessing in that regard. But we'll be doing that on the 6th of February. And I think that's all I have. Steve.
Hello, family. I'm going to take a road trip before we get started. Today, actually 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I got an email from some random individual, don't know who they are, and says, hey, we've got this class that's going to be teaching. We're going to be talking to some teenagers. We want you to come in and talk about local politics. Can you do that? I didn't know anything about him, so I just ignored it. A week later, followed back up, says, hey, did you get my email? Really like to do this. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do it. So I didn't even think any, I said, whatever. What do you need? 30 minutes. Okay, fine, I'll do 30 minutes. I can do 30 minutes. And it was today. Today, next Wednesday, and the following Wednesday. 60 kids involved in politics. And they said, you get 15 minutes to talk to them. And then 15 minutes for questions. And I'm like, 15 minutes for questions? Man, I when I talk, when I get done, I say, anybody got any questions? I'll get one question and I'll walk off. Anybody got any questions? 60 hands go in the air. What's your favorite Bible verse? That was one of the questions I was asked. What's your favorite Bible verse? I'm here to tell you that society is not on a one-way track straight to hell. Okay? If you continue to speak that, well, then that's another story. But I'm here to tell you that there is a generation that's being raised up that has, that will walk where we have set the path, if you're willing to go that route.
Amen.
So with that preamble gone, I'm here to give you an opportunity to ratify your covenant in the area of tithes and offerings. The ushers are here to distribute offering envelopes. If you're watching online, please use our online sewing portal, giving... or you can give using the link on our YouTube video or our Facebook feed. Today is part two of a three-part setup. If you remember Sunday, we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Two chapters later, Mark chapter 8. In those days when there was again a large crowd and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat. Now think about that. You go to church and you hang out with the pastor for 3 days and they don't feed you and you still stick around. How many people will stick around from Sunday morning through Sunday night if we don't have lunch here? Oops, sorry. Rabbit trail. Where was I? Verse 3. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and for some of them have come a great distance. And his disciples answered to him, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? Now keep in mind, what he said was, we can't find anything to feed them. It wasn't that we don't have enough money to feed them. It's just there's nothing, there's no supply. The last time we went down this road, I says, well, it would cost us 2/3 of a year's wage to feed everybody that's here. Today, the problem isn't how much money it's going to cost. It's the fact that there's nothing there. I'm assuming that, you know, from two chapters later, they probably still had enough money to feed everybody. Fact was, there was just no supply. And so he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And so he directed the people to sit down on the ground, taking the 7 loaves. He gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to his disciples to serve to the people, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them and ordered them to be served as well, everyone ate, and they were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces, and about 4,000 were there, and he sent them away. It's kind of funny, the very next thing that's talking about, the Pharisees are asking for a sign. And he says, what? You want another sign? I mean, have you not been paying attention to what's been happening? I mean, you just fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. You fed 5,000 men plus their wives and their kids with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think that's a sign from God. But what happened here? People gave what they had to the Lord, expecting him to do something with it. He received it. He gave thanks for it. He blessed it. And he gave back out. What we do in this body, when we receive the offering, where does the offering come? It comes back up here. And it's received by the ministry. It is prayed over. And it is blessed so that your seed is going into good ground. Keep that in mind when that need arrives. And Lou and I didn't talk about this ahead of time. When that need arrives, understand that your solution comes with your seed that you sow. So if you're watching online, please use our online sowing portal, or you can mail a check to P.O. Box 140345, Austin, Texas 78714. But regardless of the method by which you give, always give in faith, expecting that God will meet your needs.
Praise God.
Amen, amen.
Who's like him?
Who is like him? The lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Oh, who is like him?
Who is like him? The lion and the lamb, seated on the throne.
Mountains, they bow down.
Mountains bow down, and every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts.
Praise Adonai,
from the rising of the sun to the end of every day.
Sing,
praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Father,
we lift before you the tithe and the offering of your family this night, Lord. We call it holy unto you and set apart for your will, your plan, and your purpose, Father. Have your way in it and through it, Father. We agree together with you that the windows of heaven are open, Lord. Your blessings are overtaking us, Father. And as we give this night, Father, it's given unto us, Father, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. You see to it that we have more than enough to do what you've called us to do in establishing your kingdom in the earth, Father. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Rob to the rescue. Well, good evening. Good to see everyone. Pastors Richard and Michelle are getting some rest. And we declare and decree that they have it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we are talking about what's the big deal. What's the big deal? And sometimes we exalt things to a place in our mind and in our thinking that God has not. So in our mind and our thinking, it's a big deal. But in God's mind, it is not. It either is not a big deal or it's not as big of a deal as we're making it out to be. And this comes with, when we're talking about money, we're talking about wealth, we're talking about walking in the authority that God has given us. There are certain times that we can exalt things in our thinking, and sometimes one or two things happen, particularly when it comes to wealth or money. When you exalt money, wealth in your mind, in your thinking, one, you'll either be far from it, you'll always be far from it, or two, you won't handle it the way God wants you to handle it. You won't rule over it. Think about, what is a lot of money to you? Just think about what that number is. It's got to be more than $10. 500,000, 1 million, 10 million, 1 billion. Go on and on. But if $1 million has been exalted in your mind as that's a big deal, I could never go there. I could never walk there. If $1 billion has been exalted in your mind as, wow, I mean, never in my wildest dreams could I imagine, you know, being a billionaire. I'm just, you know, I'd be glad to get my bills paid. You know, I'd be glad to get out of debt. And for some people, getting out of debt, they can never see themselves getting out of debt. They've exalted debt. They've made debt a big deal. And to the degree that it's a big deal, you have exalted it over God. So God says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, to him who is able, he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we could ask or think. So if you're thinking about getting out of debt, if you're thinking about
having a nice home. Well, Brian, I could never imagine. What is a nice home to you? Just think about what a nice home is to you. There was a time I could not imagine living in anything else other than an apartment. Because as independent on my own, that's all I had ever known. So I was content, and it's good to be content, but I was content on living in an apartment, and I was fine until I got further vision. But until you get some more vision and see a higher place for you to go that God has for you, if that is way out there and you have exalted it in your mind as a big deal, you'll either, one, be far away from it. It'll always be far from you because in your mind, you can't go there. I mean, having all your bills paid, no debt, and then more money in store, for some people, that is a big deal. That is a big deal. And I want to hit this home because it's an important part of this message. What you think is a big deal, what you think is a big deal can, I'm not saying it always does, but can determine whether or not you will walk in it. But understand this, there are true riches in the kingdom, and then there are unrighteous or natural riches. Jesus said this, if you are not faithful in unrighteous mammon, wealth, riches, who will trust to you the true riches? Whatever $1 billion is down here, it's not the true riches. The true riches are in the kingdom of God. They are the things of God. Those are the true riches. It's the life of God and the life we have in Jesus Christ. That's the true riches. So if $1 billion, if you have done this, you will either, one, never walk here, or if you do, you won't handle it correctly. So the true riches is up here. If you cannot properly handle whatever this is down here, and for you it may today it may be $50 because you just want to get something to eat. It may be $1,000. It may be $10,000. It may be getting out of debt. It may be getting your first home. It may be getting a car. But that's not the true riches. Let's look in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. I'll tell you what, let's read the whole chapter. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. Now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. A rich man who had a manager. And this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. You are a manager. You are a steward. Your daddy is rich. There was a rich man who had a manager, who had a steward. At any point in time that you think you are anything more than a steward when it comes to money, you have done this. You've made it a big deal. We say, what's the big deal? The big deal is the true riches. Do you understand what should really be the big deal? The big deal is the true riches. The bill, the debt, the $1,000, the $1 million, the $10 million, the $1 billion, that is not the big deal. But sometimes we make it the big deal. And because we make it the big deal, we don't walk in it. Or if we do walk in it, we mishandle it. We don't do with it what God wants. So there's a rich man who has a manager, a steward, who is squandering his possessions. Squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management. Give an accounting of your management. Now, it works both ways. If you won't manage a penny, then you're not going to properly manage the million, because the money is not the big deal. So it has to be treated the same way no matter what the denomination. A penny, a dime, if I get a dime, I'm tithing a penny, the first tenth. If I don't do it at that phase, I won't do it when I get $1,000 or $10,000. So because the money is not the big deal, I need to steward it all the same way. Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be my manager. You can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes. And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwelling. So there's a lot there. I'm not going to drill too much into that, but we're going to keep going. He who was faithful, I just kind of wanted to give some context here. He who was faithful in a very little thing, he who was faithful in a very little thing, the money is a very little thing in God's mind. He who is faithful in very little thing will also be faithful in much. And he who was unrighteous in a very little thing, he who was faithful in a very little thing, a penny is a very little thing. A dime is a very little thing in most of our minds. But he who was faithful with that penny, he who was faithful with that dime, he who was faithful with that dollar, again, the rich man, your father, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, says to the steward, the manager, steward it the same way, because it's not about the money, it's about the way you handle the money that's important to me. So whether it's a dime, a penny, a dollar, $10, $100, it doesn't matter. Steward it all the same way, because it's not the big deal. The amount of money is not the big deal. And as long as you think in your mind it's the big deal, you're going to have a hard time walking in it. Well, Brian, that sounds backwards. We're going to get to it more. But as long as you think $1 billion is a big deal, as long as you think owning your own business is a big deal, as long as you think that having a brand new house that's this, this, and this is a big deal, you are probably going to have a hard time entering into it. Or if you do, you will not handle it properly because in your mind, it's a big deal and your focus will shift. Your focus is on what you think is the big deal. That's not the big deal because the big deal is the true riches. When you're focused on the true riches, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. Things are supposed to be trailing you. They're not supposed to be leading you. You're not supposed to lead with things. Things are supposed to be trailing you. So when you are focused on the true riches, the natural riches are now able to trail you the way God wants them to. And if you can get rich that way, when you enter into it, you'll handle it the right way. He who is faithful in very little, in a very little thing, is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? If you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? God sees your money management, your money stewardship, as an opportunity to show that you are ready to walk in and embrace the true riches. And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? If you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, what is another's? Well, that could apply to a lot of different situations, but one situation we can look at is the tithe belongs to God. That is another's. That does not belong to me. That is another's. Let's read it again. And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? The great opportunity about the tithe, and the tithe is an opportunity to prove God, is that when you steward that which is another's the way it's supposed to be stewarded, then the 90 that is left is abundantly overflowing, and God says enjoy it, enjoy, and there's a blessing on it to enjoy it. When I'm faithful in what is another's, then I'm giving that which is my own. God says if you will steward mine correctly, I will give you all that you need and take care of you. I will give you that which is your own. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. You cannot serve, verse 13, you cannot serve both God and wealth. Now, I want you to pair verse 13 with verse 1. Go back to verse 1. There was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. Back to verse 13. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Now, was the manager serving the rich man? No. He couldn't. Because you can't serve both. So he wasn't serving the rich man. He was serving the money. He was squandering the money. So he couldn't serve the rich man the way he was supposed to. He was not serving his master by stewarding the money. He was serving the money by squandering it. He was not serving his master by stewarding the money. He was serving the money by squandering it. You can't serve both God and wealth. So if the man had continued to steward properly the rich man's possessions, he would have been serving the rich man and still be taken care of. But what some people do, what some believers do, is they detach from the rich man. They don't say it, they don't think it, but in their actions they do. They detach from the rich man financially so that they can pursue finances their own way. And when you pursue finances your own way, you're no longer stewarding the finances the way God intended you to. You're now squandering them. And now you can't enjoy either. You can't enjoy your master, nor can you enjoy your possessions or the money, because one, it doesn't belong to you. And two, eventually, you're not going to be able to be trusted with that which is your own. So, when we make money the big deal, what's the big deal? When we make money the big deal, we are out of line. Now, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct those, this is Paul talking to Timothy about the church. Timothy is pastoring the church of Ephesus. This is Paul talking to him. He tells him, instruct those who are rich in this present world. So there's just a lot in that sentence right there. Instruct those who are rich. So there are rich people in the church. If there were no rich people in the church, he would not need to instruct them about anything. There were some rich people in the church. God does not have a problem with you being rich. As a matter of fact, he richly gives you everything to enjoy, and he has blessed you beyond measure, but you have to understand what it means to be rich in its fullness. Now here it's talking about finances. He says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. When you have a lot, and being rich in this present world, we're talking about money, yes, but you could be rich in clothes in this present world. You can be rich in shoes. You can be rich in friends. You can have a lot of cars. You can be rich in a lot of different ways in this present world. But the temptation sometimes when you become rich in anything is that you become conceited. You become haughty. Can't touch this. Doom, 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 doom. So he says, you know, you get those new pair of shoes, or you get those new clothes, or you get that brand new bag. Pop on a brand new bag. No, that's a song. No, that's not. You get that new bag, and you know why you're wearing it on that shoulder. Brand name. You get that new car, there is an opportunity there to be conceited. And being conceited can be so subtle. Why do people become conceited? Because they make it a big deal. What's the big deal? The big deal is the true riches of God. But we make other things the big deal. Why do they become conceited? Because they make it a big deal in their mind. So in their case, because they make it a big deal, they are not stewarding that thing that they got the way God wants them to. So like I said earlier, when you make the wrong thing a big deal, you'll either, one, you'll never enter into it, or two, if you do, you won't handle it the way God wants you to. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Talking about money here. Natural riches. Don't fix your hope on money. Don't fix your hope on wealth. Now, he says, tell this to rich people in the church. There's going to be some rich, there should be some rich people in the church. And if you're willing to lay hold of it and receive it, it can be you. But as you receive it, you can't make it the big deal. Because it's not the big deal. What's the big deal? The big deal is the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the riches of God. That's the big deal. But if you show yourself to be able to steward and manage God's money appropriately and not become conceited, then he can trust you to be able to do that, to be able to enter into that. He says, instruct them not to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. See the flip? You can't serve both God and wealth. So don't fix your hope on the riches that you have, whether it be money or clothes or an inheritance or, you know, a rich relative or whatever. Don't fix your hope because it's uncertain. Have you ever seen the stock market? It goes up and it goes down. If you can ride the wave, ride it out and get out. But it's uncertain. It's uncertain. There are a lot of people this past year, the past calendar year, entire year, things were uncertain. Things happened they did not expect financially. Some people lost their jobs. It's uncertain. But the kingdom of God, the true riches, is unshakable. So when you fix your hope there, then you're right where God wants you to be. Instruct them, this is instruct the rich people. Now, rich, look, if everybody around you has $5 and you got $100, you're rich. So rich is kind of relative depending on who's around you. If everybody around you has $100 and you have $10,000, you're the rich one. So everybody in this room is rich in terms of this world in some area, in some shape, form, or fashion. Instruct those who are rich. That would be you. Don't be conceited. Don't fix your hope but hope in God, trust in God, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Conceited people, why do I say conceited? Because it says it in verse 17. Conceited people are not focused on other people. Or if they are, it's for the wrong reason. But when you're conceited, you're not going to be generous and ready to share with others because you are thinking about yourself. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. Oh, wait, back up. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure. Wait, I thought we was already talking about the treasure. So in the context of these two verses, what's the big deal? The riches or the treasure? The treasure. The treasure is like the ultimate prize. If you are not faithful with unrighteous wealth, who will give you the ultimate prize? Instruct them to handle, instruct the rich folk to handle money the way God intended, because it affects the ultimate prize, the treasure. So what's the big deal? The big deal is the treasure, not the riches. The big deal is the kingdom of God, the true riches. So when you understand that the $1 million, the $1 billion is not the big deal, Pastor Jim used to say, he used to have this phrase, ain't nothing for a stepper. When Pastor Jim and Sister Lou used to live on Oak Shadows, I believe that y'all's house was 3,000 something square feet, somewhere around there. Am I correct, Sister Lou? He used to, I remember when they first moved in, he used to refer to it as a shack. Now, it wasn't Radio Shack. Do they still have Radio Shack?
No.
No. Okay. He referred to it as a shack, and I always got a kick out of that. Why would you refer to your house as a 7'2" basketball player? Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Y'all will get that before you get home. Some of y'all are like, what? I lived in a shack because at the time, I was living in a 600-square-foot apartment. So him referring to his 30-whatever-square-foot home as a shack was funny to me. But the reason he referred to it as a shack, because it wasn't a big deal to him. He was always talking about the next one he was going to move into. And when he would talk about, we went to Florida, when he went to look at houses, he would refer to them as shacks. This 5,000 square foot shack over here, this 10,000 square foot shack over here, why? Now, he was being a little facetious, maybe he wasn't. He was, anyway, okay. But in part, he referred to them as shacks because he knew they weren't the mansions. Because the mansion's coming. The true riches is coming. So for Pastor Jim, it wasn't a big deal. When it's not a big deal to you, you can live in it. When somebody talks to you about living in a 4,000 square foot house or you see one that you like. The reason some people immediately just drive by it and don't even consider it is because they've made it a big deal. Are y'all getting the flip side of this? They've made it a big deal. And so they aren't entering into that level because they've made it a big deal. But for Pastor Jim, it wasn't a big deal. And guess what? He entered into it because it wasn't a big deal. And when he entered into it because it wasn't a big deal, he was able to handle it appropriately. The house, the money, the wealth, whatever. As long as the $50,000 car is a big deal, you'll either, one, never drive the $50,000 car, or two, when you do drive it, you won't handle it appropriately, and you'll need to be referred back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17 that says, instruct those who are rich. Here, you read this because you conceded. This is for you. What's the big deal? If we're going to walk in the wealth that God has called us to walk in, the natural wealth, it can't be a big deal. It has to be as expected and natural as breathing. The disciples came to Jesus and said, the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus said, what's the big deal? I saw Satan cast out. Rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What's the big deal? These things should be natural for a believer. They should be elementary, my dear Watson. When you're able to look at a dress and not be moved by the price tag, even if you don't have the money, your mindset is, okay, I'll get there. I'll get there. God can take care of this. Whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, or next year, God can take care of this. God can get me here. If this is God's plan for my life, this is God's will for my life, this is where God's taking me, God can get me here. This is no big deal. Can you see House of the Lord and the 10,000? I'm sorry, no. Not 10,000. Can you see House of the Lord in the very large building? My commercial square footage is, compared to the house, is 10,000 is not a very big. I think we're in 8,000 square foot or roughly. Steve will have the numbers at the moment. Can you see House of the Lord in a 10,000 seat auditorium? You should be able to because it's not a big deal. He who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we could ask, all we could think. If you're thinking right here, he can do way up here. Allow him to take your thinking there. Because when it gets there, it still won't be a big deal. Because the big deal is the true riches, the kingdom of God. We will never go there if we think it's a big deal, because we think it's too big for us. We don't deserve it. But it's not too big for you. It's beneath you. It's not too big for you. The vision is not too big. The house is not too big. The money's not too big. Well, Brian, I don't have anything right now. It's still not too big. So don't make it a big deal. Let God take you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, steward and manage appropriately. Let God escalate you. Let God increase you. Do the right thing with his possessions. Do the right thing with the money. Steward it the way God wants you to steward it. Let him grow you. Continue to learn, develop. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. When you see the price tag, and we all have to grow in this because I've seen some price tags. That, but to the degree that you can see the price tag and not be moved and say, you know what? I need this. Because when it comes to stewardship, it's about purpose and about need. There's a purpose and a reason behind this. And if the thing that God has for you in his plan and his purpose for your life, Jesus told the disciples, go into the city and you'll find a colt that has never been ridden, tied up. Untie it and bring it to me. And if somebody asks you what you're doing, tell them the master has need of it. It was a colt that had never been ridden. It was brand new. Now, I've had my share of used cars, but having a brand new car that's never been driven, oh, that smell. Can you see yourself there, or is that a big deal? When it's not a big deal, you can walk there. So it shouldn't be too big for you. It should be beneath you because it's under your feet. The natural thing should be under your feet. You have to get to the point where things are not a big deal to you. Things don't move you. That's why Jesus said, let them be added unto you. People have so exalted money. That it is in their line of sight. People have so exalted wealth. That it is in their line of sight. And when something else besides the kingdom of God, the true riches, the things that really matter, the things that are the big deal is in your line of sight, then the true riches are blocked. And you're not seeing the true things that God has for you, and you're limiting yourself. But when you exalt that which is true, when you exalt the true riches and you're looking at that, now that which you're exalting is bringing that which you're not exalting. The thing that you're saying is a big deal in your mind and in your thinking, the thing that you're acknowledging and recognizing as the big deal in your mind and your thinking is bringing along with it the thing the world says is a big deal. And you can have both. Amen? Praise God. We are done. Stand with me. Father, thank you for your word this night, Lord. We declare and decree, Father, that it is settled in our hearts, Father, that it continues to grow in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking, that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind as this continues to grow and manifest in our mind and in our thinking, Father. Father, we thank you, sir, that you are the one that we should be focused on, that Jesus is the one that we should be focused on. And as we focus on the true riches, as we focus on you as the big deal, you say that you richly give us all things to enjoy, Father. So we receive that which you're bringing us. We receive that which you have given us and that you have put in store for us, Father. Father, help us see in our mind you high and lifted up. And the things of the earth as no big deal, nothing for a stepper, Father. That these things, Father, you are more than able to give us. You are more than able to bring us into. And so because of that, we can fix our eyes on you and allow these things to be added unto us. Father, as we leave this night, Father, I speak a blessing over your family, this night, Father. They are kept and protected of you, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Father. Father, that your will is done in their life, and they are used of you to be lights that shine in the darkness, Father, and praise reports and testimonies arise because of what you do in them, through them, and what you do with them, Father, and the blessings and the things that you are giving them to show your glory, your goodness, Father, your light that shines in the darkness, Father. We thank you and give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you, Father. You are dismissed. You are blessed. See ya.